This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 40.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about something that isn't strictly related to my business, but has had a big impact on it. And that's a book by the Japanese author Marie Kondo, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying. Now, I'm a little bit late to the party here because this book first came out in 2014, but Marie has recently published a second book, Spark Joy, and I've basically just discovered her, and I've been decluttering and tidying and have just been amazed really by how much decluttering and tidying my house and living space has impacted on my mind, my well-being, and also on my business. So I wanted to share some of the lessons that have come out for me that I can apply in my business, and hopefully it might just spark something in you too. But before I get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention an event that I'm speaking at in June in London, which you might like to come along to. It's called New Media Europe, and I went last year in September. It was held in Manchester in the UK last year, and I just thought it was absolutely amazing. If you're interested in digital marketing, in content marketing, in podcasting, email marketing, blogging, any of that stuff in the online space, then you are going to get so much value from this event. I'm going to be speaking there on how to get big media coverage on a small business budget. And obviously, it'd be great to see you there if you want to come along and hear me speak. But also, it would be great to meet you if you're coming along to the event. I'd love to arrange some kind of meetup for people who are in my community to get together at some point during the weekend. It would be really, really great to do that. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk if you're coming along, and I'll put a link to the event in the show notes. But what I also wanted to mention about it was just how brilliant it has been for me to make connections. I was just making a list before I started to record this episode of the connections that I've made that have actually led to collaborations on my podcast. So episode 3 with Alexia Leachman on fear-free pitching. I met Alexia for the first time at New Media Europe. Phil Pallon in episode 5. And Phil and I have gone on to work together. In fact, in a couple of days' time, we are running a branding session in London together, so that's been amazing. Just looking at my list now, so Chris Ducker, I'd already made a connection with Chris, but I met him in person at New Media Europe, and I ended up being a guest on his podcast, and he was a guest on mine, so that's absolutely amazing. Jonathan Tilley, we did episode 27 on the F word, failure, and also Amy Schmittauer, who was episode 37. So that episode is all about promoting yourself by video, and also Sarah Williams in episode 39. So all of those people, some of which I knew before or knew of, but actually meeting them face to face and making that connection has led to all sorts of different things. And I'm already working with Phil on projects, but I know with some of those other people, we've also talked about doing some work together. So how amazing is that? And I know that one of the comments that lots of people made at New Media Europe last year was, it wasn't just that the speakers were absolutely great, but it was also just that opportunity to connect and spend a whole weekend geeking out with other people who are in that kind of online space, people who are mad about digital marketing and content marketing and blogging and podcasting and all of that stuff. It was just one of the best weekends I've had for ages. So if you can make it along, I'd love to see you. And as I say, I'd love to organise some kind of meetup for people in my community, either just before or during that event, so we can get together and meet in person and have a bit of a chat. So I'll link to that in the show notes. And now I guess it's on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to share with you what I learned by going through the Marie Kondo approach to tidying and decluttering. Now, I know most of us, we get to that point where our houses and our living spaces can feel so overcrowded, so cluttered, that we just have to clean up and tidy. And it's certainly that something I do several times a year, but I've never quite done it in this way. And I've probably mentioned on other podcast episodes that I'm not a great one for rules. I'm not a great one for somebody saying, you must do it this way and you must follow this procedure. I'm much more kind of intuitive and I prefer to feel my own way. So it's quite interesting that I've picked up this book and actually followed it, because it does have some quite kind of strict rules about how you do things. Now, most of us would probably think if you're decluttering and tidying that the best way to go about it is to do one room at a time. But actually what Marie Kondo, what she suggests or what she tells you in her book that you have to do is you have to do it by category. So you do clothes, if I've got this right, then you do books, then you do household items, then you do jewelry and handbags and shoes, then you do household items. And the very last thing you do is keepsakes and personal possessions, you know, those kind of things that are sentimental to you. You leave those till last. Now, I must admit, I was a little bit kind of dubious when I started out, because I'd heard from other people that all you have to do, apart from follow these categories, is pick something up and ask yourself one question, which is, does this bring me joy? And I was telling my husband about it and my daughter, and they were kind of rolling their eyes at me and saying, oh, for God's sake, what are you up to now? But I have to say, there was something really amazing about it, because I started, as she suggests, with my wardrobe. Oh, and the other thing she suggests is that you don't just kind of, you know, pull things out of your wardrobe. You basically go around the whole house and you get absolutely everything out. So any place in the house, in the hallway, the coats hanging up, the bags for charity under the stairs, the bits of clothing that you've got in your kids' wardrobes, you go and get it, all of it, every single scrap, and you pile it up and you go through each item one by one and you ask that question, does it bring me joy? And obviously you do this for every category, but I'm going to talk specifically about what happened when I did it with my wardrobe. Now, I've probably also mentioned on previous podcasts that I love clothes and I always have done. I love buying clothes. They do bring me quite a lot of joy. I enjoy shopping for them, not as much as I used to, but it's certainly something that I really like. I like nice clothes. So I decided, as Marie says, to start with my wardrobe. And I went round and I got absolutely everything out, every scrap of clothing. I'm going to put a picture in the show notes if you want to go and have a look. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode40 of what my pile looked like. It was quite horrendous. My daughter was rolling around in it. But I pulled everything out and went through it and just asked myself that question, does it bring me joy? And about the end of it, I'll also put a picture to what my wardrobe looked like at the end of it. I had hardly anything left, mainly gym gear, a few summer dresses, a few pairs of shoes, but I literally had got rid of everything. And somebody said to me, I posted on Facebook, I posted a few pictures of the pile that I was going to go through before I started. And somebody said to me, it was Julie Stevens, in fact, somebody I met at New Media Europe, in fact, last year. She said to me, you're going to find this such a life-changing, it's not going to be about your wardrobe. You're also going to learn things about yourself. And I was like, right, okay. So when I'd finished the process quite a few hours later, that this was just doing my clothes, I actually noted down, I created a Facebook post where I shared the things that I'd learned. And then later I reflected on how that could apply in my business and life. So I'm just going to run through the five things that I learned and how it's also helped me to make some changes in my business and my life. So the first thing I noticed was that the clothes that were left after my massive clear out, and I literally got rid of probably about 90% of my wardrobe, were the clothes that I'd spent the most on. So there was a Ted Baker dress that I probably paid best part of £200 for, and I had to walk around Bluewater, my local shopping mall, about six times before I could bring myself to buy it because it was so expensive. But when I looked at what was left in my wardrobe, it was generally things like that. I've got this jumper that's also from Ted Baker and it cost £90. And I remember my husband nearly had a heart attack when I told him how much it cost. But again, that was still hanging in the wardrobes. The biggest investments, but the things I'd had to think hardest about, were the ones that stood the test of time. So it's quite interesting. And when I thought about that in relation to my business, I thought, well, it's actually the same for my business. A little while ago, back in the autumn time, I think, when I was just starting my Soulful PR coaching program, I was really overwhelmed. I was finding it really difficult to manage all of my daily tasks. So I asked Joe, who initially I hired on a contract basis to help me with my Infusionsoft marketing. So that's an email marketing software, for those of you who don't know it. I initially got her to help me with that, but I asked her if she would step up and support me with my emails, to support me with managing my different online courses. And at the time, it felt like quite a scary thing to do because I was going to be doubling the number of hours that she was going to be working for me. And, you know, I was going through a sort of bumpy patch in my business where sometimes you go through those kind of very feast and famine-y type times in your business. And I was thinking, oh my God, this feels like a big commitment. Is this the right time? And I thought about it really hard. But in the end, I bit the bullet and I asked her. And really, it's been well worth it. Just having someone else who knows my business, who understands it, who almost, she often comes to me and says, do you want me to send an email about X? Where she's thought about what it is that I need to do before I've even thought about it, which is great. So that was an investment that I had to think really hard about, but was well worth it. The second thing I noticed was that when I looked at what was left in my wardrobe, they were generally from two shops, well, maybe three. So they were from Oasis. If you're not from the UK, it's kind of quite a popular high street chain, but probably on the upper end of the of how much it costs. Ted Baker, I think, is international, isn't it? But it is a bit on the expensive side for high street Ted Baker. But it was stuff from Oasis and Ted Baker that was there. And I thought, well, why is it? Well, partly because it's probably a little bit more expensive to have to think about it, but also because the stuff is better quality. And not necessarily better quality in terms of the way it's made, but also the stuff fits me. And I know if I go into Oasis that you know, if I pick up a size 10 or a size 8, that's going to fit me. And I'm not going to have to, you know, like if I go into shops like Topshop or something, I know, like, you know, I might have to try three different sizes to get the right one. I know that those clothes fit me well and they work for my shape. So that was a really interesting lesson. And it taught me that really, when I go shopping, I shouldn't really spend hours just wandering around the shopping mall. I should just stick with the things that the quality, the things that I know look good on me and are good for me. So this got me thinking about my business and what I'm doing in my business. And I thought, you know, there's some parts of my business where I am concentrating so much more on quantity rather than quality. And one of the things that really stood out for me was with my blog. I've been blogging pretty much every week for about 3 or 4 years now, at producing at least one blog post a week. But recently I felt a little bit like I've almost had to force myself sometimes to create a blog post, which I don't think is a good place to be. So it made me think, well, why don't I just maybe do one or two really bumper blog posts a month. I did one last month, which was about how to write emails to journalists that, you know, they can't ignore. And I'll link to that in the show notes. And it's a really, really popular one. I did a really nice download with it, a free download. And I broke down how to do a pitch for a journalist. And I got my designer to create some graphics to go with it, stuff, a really nice looking post that I put a lot more thought and time in than I probably normally would. But it's a kind of, they call it a pillar post generally. I thought, why don't I just do that? Why am I forcing myself to do this additional stuff? So from now on, I think I'm going to be doing just one or two kind of bumper blog posts. So the one I'm working on that's going to be published in the next few days is about 2,000 words, but actually it's really, really useful stuff. So it was a really good lesson on that. The third thing that I noticed was that the things that were most likely to spark joy, this was really interesting for me because I'm always telling people that I don't like the summer and I love the winter and I love winter coats and stuff. But actually, when I looked at what was hanging in my wardrobe, most of it was summer stuff and it was summer dresses and it was like shorts and the things that make me think about those lovely summer days. And we do get some in the UK when I can walk my daughter to school, and I never ever feel happier than when I'm walking my daughter to school in my shorts and my flip-flops. And I know that once I've dropped her off at school, I walk her home in the sunshine with my sunglasses on, and I'm just going to sit in my lovely home office or my she shed at the end of the garden. And I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to get on a hot, sweaty train or commute with people. That's the time when I feel the most joy. And interestingly, when I looked in my wardrobe, it was those clothes that I had most of. I had a couple of good quality coats because I do love a winter coat, but mainly it was sort of summer dresses and shorts. And so I thought, you know, that's probably telling me that I need to really concentrate on doing more of that sort of work, that work that really brings me joy, which is coaching from my home office, which is working on, you know, I love nothing more than being, I tend to write in the mornings and being in my lovely home office, the sun's streaming in, writing content or creating content, might be recording a podcast episode. That's when I'm at my happiest and my most joyful in my work. So I just need some more of that. And it was a really good lesson. So that kind of leads me nicely into number four. So the fourth thing that I learned was that I was I was holding on to lots of clothes that kind of looked nice and probably looked nice on other people, but I didn't really enjoy wearing because possibly they were a bit uncomfortable. So jeans that kind of looked nice but dug in a bit were a bit too tight. Dresses that kind of looked nice, but maybe there was a kind of bulge or something I wasn't sure about, or maybe I just never felt good in them or something like that. So again, it was a kind of reminder about sometimes we say yes to things or we say yes to opportunities because they sound good. So, you know, it sounds like there's kind of kudos with it or something like that. You know, so opportunities that when you tell people about them sound really impressive. So sometimes someone will ask me to speak somewhere or do something. And when I mention it to somebody, they'll go, wow, that sounds really good. But I'm like, but actually, it doesn't really kind of fill me with that much joy. And so it was a reminder about how things may seem good on the surface and they may seem impressive. They may look like a great opportunity, but actually, do they bring you joy? Do they make you happy? And if they don't, maybe you should say no. And finally, I, having gone through my wardrobe like this and seeing how many mistake buys I had and how many impulse buys there were in there, there was loads of stuff where I still actually had the labels on. And where I've made mistakes and stuff I hadn't worn very much or at all, I'm ashamed to say, was generally when I've been in a rush. So I've been maybe rushing through St. Pancras Railway Station in London or somewhere else like that, or I've been in a city for an afternoon or a day and I just needed a dress or something for an event, or maybe I hadn't had time to do my washing, so I hadn't been able to get the washing to the ironing lady and I couldn't find something. And it actually made me think I needed to make time for shopping, which if you like shopping, you may well be smiling along in agreement by now, but that I actually needed to kind of devote a day, maybe every 2 or 3 months, just to go and buy clothes and to go and kind of enjoy that experience rather than just kind of picking things up in a hurry and then making mistakes. And again, when I thought about how that related to my business, I know that I've panic bought online training programs. I know that I have made mistakes trying out new software in my business, that kind of thing. And it's when I'm in a rush and I thought, you know, I really do need to carve out some days and some times in my week just to plan and think. And I know in terms of training opportunities, for example, the things that I have, I invest a lot in training every year. I'm off to Tropical Think Tank as I'm recording this. It's just a few days away. I'm off to Hong Kong and the Philippines. How exciting is that? I'm going to a business mastermind. And that costs a lot of money, but I have absolutely no doubt that I'm going to get so much value from it. And it's probably going to be, you know, it's in the thousands it's cost me to do it, but actually that's probably better than buying a handful of online training courses that aren't quite the right fit for me. It's better probably to put all my money together to something like that. So they were just some sort of observations that as Julie said to me before I started doing my clothes in the Marie Kondo way, that you will learn a lot about yourself in the process. And what I was interested in really was how those lessons could apply to my business. And I know that I feel clearer headed since I started doing it. I'm now working my way through the other categories. And also something interesting she says in the book, that a lot of people find that they lose weight or that their health clears up or any sort of niggles they've been having, because there's just something about clearing out and clearing that kind of old energy and getting rid of that clutter that really kind of focuses the mind. So I just thought you might be interested to hear about that. And what I'd like to do, I'm a big believer that if you read a great book that changes your life, that you should pass it on to somebody. So what I'd like to do is the first person to email me, having listened to this episode, and tell me that they'd like it, I would like to send you the book. I'd like to send you a copy of the book. I'm a big believer that if you read something great, you should pass it on to somebody else. So the first person to email me on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, I will send you a copy of Marie Kondo's The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying, and I'll put a little message in it for you. I just really think it's a great thing to do if you read something great, is just to pass it on and share the love. So the first person to email me on janet@janetmurray.co.uk will get a copy of that book. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode 40, where you can get links to everything I mentioned in this episode. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode 40.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk. janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.